Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's June 14th, 2024, and it's time for your TNA Against All Odds post-show. I am Adriel Pearl, and Cresta Star, as always, joins me. We do the TNA post-show every week, Thursdays, here on the channel. But you know what? Specials, pay-per-views, here we are. We do it. We talk about it. How you doing, Cresta?
Still headphone-less. We're working on it. But I thought the show overall was okay. I really enjoyed only two matches, if I'm being honest, babes. If I'm being honest, two matches were my match tonight. But overall, it was a good show. What did you think about Against All Odds tonight? And also, how are you, Joel? I kind of gloss over the how am I. I'm alive.
Yeah, I usually say I'm alive. It's a start. You know what? Tonight's show was a solid show. I think last night when you and I did our predictions, we tempered our expectations. We knew kind of what to expect and what we wanted to see. There were some surprises tonight, which was nice. There were some things that if you were in the know and you subscribed to, I don't know, Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business, you kind of had an inkling that things were going to happen and some things were coming, and maybe there was going to be someone, you know, running down at the end of the night to join the Hardy clan, do the dance. He came down just about as slow as the last time to save his brother too. So nice little.
He didn't dance this time. I feel like he came back faster. He sauntered, but he didn't dance.
It's a good way to put it. Yes, for those who may not have seen it yet, Jeff Hardy has returned to TNA by the side of his brother Matt. As reported by Fightful Select, Jeff Hardy was poised to be a free agent today, Friday, and jumped right over to TNA to join his brother. We'll get more information on the agreement, if it's what it looks like and how his time in TNA might look. But if it's anything like Matt Hardy's, could just be here for as long as they want to be and as long as people are interested in having them around. But it's a nice, nice
that's
moment.
The wrong answer.
All right.
The wrong answer is he'll be here and it'll be wonderful. Yeah.
You know what? That sounded better than that person who was in the front row all night screaming.
Bro, sorry. I don't know if there were two people arguing, but by the time the moose and by the time the main event came around, I wanted to know what was arguing, why they were arguing. It was someone on that side and someone on that side. And I have a feeling I know who this person was on that side of the camera, and I didn't want them to pan to it. And I'm glad of who I did.
There was a lot of something, but overall, I did enjoy the show. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And of course, we're going to want your input as well. Whether you're joining us live or you're joining us after the fact, drop something, anything in the comments. Let us know what you thought about the show tonight, about Against All Odds. And of course, if you want to participate in the show live, you can do that a few ways. You can do it. One is by donating Super Chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Or the other one is a Humper Chat. Cresta will tell you all the details right now.
Okay, I thought about wrapping it, so here we go. You can go on to humperchats.com and you can leave us a rad comment. We'll read it live on the air, and it'll help us to pay our rent. Don't be scared. $5 or more. Cressa Joel won't be your bore. Humperchats.com. That was horrible. Horrible.
I can suddenly say that I don't feel like the whitest person on this show. That
Jeremy Lambert, I'm coming for you, Hulk Hogan.
That was impressive. I'm pretty, Cresta. I'm pretty, but I'm also pretty white. You beat me on that one. You did. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Apologies. Next thing you know, I'll be putting raisins and macaroni and cheese.
No, not the Wait, Sean Ross Sapp joined In the Weeds this morning, as he typically does. In the Weeds is a morning show that we do over on Fightful Overbook, myself and Jeremy Lambert. And we talked about the cookout discourse. And of course, Sean came on and made the joke. Cody Rhodes has to show up to this now mythological
Cody Rhodes cookout. Is helping set up the cookout. What are you talking about? Early.
I was saying that Cody's going to show up to the cookout with the potato salad with the raisins in it.
No.
Everyone's gonna be like, no.
Cody goes to set up early, but because Cody knows what's up, he knows he's allowed to bring cups, plates, or forks. He's not cooking anything. He knows he's not allowed to cook anything.
No, because the people who are cooking at this cookout, we decided it's Shawn Michaels and Cody Rhodes.
Oh no! What cookout is this?
The NXT cookout. Remember. All right. We're done. This isn't In the Weeds. We don't do this today. We're talking about TNA against All Odds. There's plenty to talk about. I know that this chat sometimes follows me over from the show, from the morning show, and it's like, no, don't talk about the wrestling. We do have to talk about the wrestling. That's what we're actually paid to do on this particular show. So we'll do it. We'll do it. Maybe in the chat you can talk about your cookout expectations. In the chat,
or I need to know expeditiously who was organizing this cookout, because everything sounds wrong so far.
It's Trick Williams doing it. I don't know if you mentioned this last night, so I can do this. You say you don't watch a lot of NXT, and this is actually going to play into the conversation of the prohibited portal and the reveal of the challenger for Jordan Grace's TNA Knockouts Championship. So you said you're not a big NXT watcher. And that's fine. You know, there's only so many hours in the day and there's so much wrestling on TV. You do pick and choose. And believe me, I wish I could too. That being said, on this past week's episode, Cody Rhodes makes an appearance and they do a promo. It's him and Trick Williams. They do an in the ring trade off promo and blah, blah, blah. It ends with Trick being like, "Hey, Cody, one more thing." Cody's like, "Yeah." And he says, "You coming to the cookout?" Cody's like, "Yes, I am." And they shake hands and it's a thing. And everyone's like, "Oh my God, Cody's about to cook." You get it. And so now you're caught up to the discourse up until the point where it got weird on the internet.
Listen, he was invited. Cody been invited. We didn't say he could bring that. Joel's invited. For an example, Joel, you are invited to the cookout. We ain't say you could bring nothing, but you were definitely invited.
Hey, I will do the kind thing. I will offer. You say no, we're good. I will say respect, we're good. Because if I can't be a nice person and just offer, then I feel like I'm not being proper.
For what it's worth, for a very long time, I too wasn't allowed to bring any food to the cookout. So the bar for bringing food to the cookout is very high. So that's a little bad.
Over the years, I've learned to cook very good Mexican food and other Latino style foods, so I'm good. I have a wonderful Colombian mother-in-law who never taught me how to cook Colombian food. I learned it all myself, damn it, and I cook pretty well. So shout out to my mother.
Bury you from the word go.
Shout out my mother-in-law, she's great. Anyway, let's kick into the show. This Against All Odds show was pretty much as I expected it to be. I enjoyed it. It progressed some stories. It moved some other stuff along. We're going to dig into it. The countdown, we don't normally spend a lot of time on the countdown, and we don't need to. There were two matches on the countdown. The Knockouts tag titles, Masha Lisha defeat the Hex. That was the second match of the countdown. No real shocker there. You and I talked about what it would look like if the Hex won and what you could do, but at the end of the day, this was the system's night. They they swept. And that started with the Knockouts tag titles. This story is still kind of percolating, whatever it's supposed to be with Masha Lisha. I don't know if you have anything to add about Masha Lisha retaining the Knockouts tag titles in general, or the match itself with the Hex.
I will say that Marty Bell was working. I did see this match for the most part. Marty Bell was really working her butt off. Masha was the MVP, making sure Lish did not eat the pin when she should have four or five times. This was fine. I don't know what happened in that first match, but I did see that Jonathan Gresham is wearing the white skull mask, which looks infinitely more spooky than the black one. Why did Kushida come out? What? That's my answer. That's my question.
So that's the other match from the opening countdown show. Sami Callihan defeats Jonathan Gresham. Now, last night, you and I discussed that this should be Jonathan Gresham on a tear, continuing to win until he's potentially the first opponent for Speedball Mike Bailey if Speedball wins the X Division Championship at Slammiversary. Now, that's not the, well, it could still be the case, but he's not going to be undefeated in this case. Sami Callihan gets the win. The match is largely contested outside until they roll into the ring, they ring the bell, and all of a sudden, now comes Dr. Kushida. There's no other way I could put it. We haven't seen Kushida in so long that he went, got a fever, got his doctorate, now wears a lab coat, and got a sample of the ink from Jonathan Gresham, and that allowed Gresham to get distracted long enough so that Sami Callihan hits him with the Cactus Driver and gets the win. Yes.
I you know what? I was unfamiliar with this game, but I was also here during the pandemic where a lot of people went to the College of Google and became virologists. So I guess they were still offering that program and Kushida took it as well. I see.
Really hoping that Kushida doesn't start spouting anti-vaxxer stuff. It'd be really weird.
I'm calling the cops.
I don't know what to think about this story. They took a weird left turn. I appreciate that Kushida came back and is part of this because this all did start with him. He was the first like contracted star to have a match with Gresham and have something happen to him. Like they did it. Well, I guess Santino Marella. But anyway, the point being here, Kushida gets in the ring more often than Santino, and this makes sense. It's just a little weird that we're doing a Dr. Kushida thing, unless the ink makes you really sick and then it turns you into something genius, at which point Sami Callihan is going to be Mensa level smart at the end of this whole thing.
I understood that reference and you're a nerd.
Yeah, you're welcome. Show opens up, main card, Santana and Steve Maclin defeat the Rascals. First of all, we talked about it last night. You'll hear that statement a lot from us. This was a match we both expected to be really good, and man, did it deliver. Just tandem, great tag team wrestling from both members, both men. You can tell that Santana was made to be the standout guy, not only amongst the tag team of Maclin and Santana, but also between all four men. And I really appreciated the way they made it look. The chemistry was there. There were so many solid moments. Rascals doing a pedigree swanton bomb combo. Good stuff. The rolling buck 50 into a Busaiko knee. There's a lot of really, really solid stuff. At the end of the match, after all said and done, all smiles, little tense as the crowd's chanting, hug it out. And they tease it, and then they do. And Macklin's, you know, Maclin kind of gave a little, we can do this again. And Santana's like, absolutely not. But this was a solid match. What do you think of this whole thing? Santana, Maclin, and the Rascals.
A lot of tag team tandem offense, say that five times fast. But honestly, I hate to say it. The chemistry Maclin and Santana has, That's lightning in a bottle almost. It's giving me, not on the same level as Hook and Joe, but like you guys really don't like each other. But for all intensive purposes, before you were single stars, you guys were tag team specialists, tag team assassins, more so on the LAX side. So this worked out. I thought the sign of respect as well at the end, setting up for the KIA so Maclin can hit it, and also setting him up for the buck 50 so Santana can get it. I went to ask you this last night, but I wanted to ask you this now. Joel Pearl, do you know what a buck 50 is? Or you know what it means when someone said they're going to buck 50?
No, I wanted to say yes, because maybe at one point I did, but I don't remember now.
It is a hood term. Typically means that someone's going to cut your face. Mama. So I always thought it was interesting.
I do.
Face or throat. Either way, it means from here to here. I was always on the interesting that Santel's like, you're a buck 50 someone. That is some classic hood lore. I like this. I like this match. I don't want them to tag team again. But again, like you said, if it happened, I would be like, I'm not mad at it. Also, Santana looked amazing here. Trey Miguel always looked like he's dying. I will always say that he's a good seller. Trey Miguel and Nick Nemeth always look like they're dying. Always.
Yeah, there was just, again, we go back to the chemistry between all four men, but also the tag team chemistry was there. With Macklin and Santana, we said last night, this was something that you could revisit, that they could come back once in a while, just knowing that this is okay. This is safety, but you can also let them still be opponents and let them still have, you know, singles aspirations. So if they do team again, it's got to be for the right reason or for the right, something so bad has to be happening that they have to join forces together. So we'll see. But this was solid. And again, Trey and Wentz are that team. They put on a great show. That was Trey goes for the spray paint. Macklin stops him. Santana does the caught in the crosshairs. Santana serves up Trey for Macklin to hit it. And then Macklin gets the Wentz. He sets up Wentz to get Santana to hit, spin the block. That's the win. So it's Santana who gets the pin. And Macklin's like, hey, look what we did for each other. Look at us. Look at us. Really, really solid outing.
Hug it at the end. It was hug it out, shake his hand at the end, and I put they hugged. We love a good, happy, feel-good moment. A mutual respect moment. Now they got to run that back.
And this is what was weird to me, and this is what I'm curious about. It's Macklin who does the hug. It's not Santana. It's not mutual. It looks like it's Macklin who's softened up and gives the hug. I don't know if that's just nothing or something, but I'm willing to see if that becomes part of the storytelling. I wouldn't put it past someone like Macklin, who is very much entrenched in the stories he tells, that no movement is misguided. Almost everything has a place, and he's the one who did the hug. Maybe he's being lulled into a false sense of security, and maybe this is going to lead to his downfall, or maybe he's going to turn babyface and we're all going to be very confused when we start cheering for Steve Macklin.
I'm at the point where I think, I'm on the Steve Macklin hype train. Well, not hype train, but you know, I'm flip flopping. I don't hate him anymore. I don't hate him. I don't hate that guy. That guy, he's pretty top tier. He's pretty tops. I will say that Macklin right now was in a great spot where he's not a bad guy, but he's like, ugh, I'm not Bully Ray. Jesus Christ, I'm some kooks. Like, I'm not the system. Jesus. I'm not a good guy, but I'm not Moose. Like, whoa, hey, knock that off. Knock that off. So I like where he's at right now. And Santana's right now about his money. Like the kids say, he's in his bag because you can't be in your feelings because there's no money in there.
Matt Hardy cuts a promo after the match backstage. It's a broken rules, he explains finally. Broken rules means there are no rules, for they are broken. Yeah, I got nothing to add there. PCO defeats Rich Swann. The match just exists. AJ Francis cuts a pre-match promo. I got to put it over because, listen, I'm not a big sports guy, but when you get a guy who comes down running the town of Chicago wearing a Chicago Bulls jersey and gets the crowd to boo the guy wearing a Scottie Pippen jersey, that's kind of amazing in its own little way. AJ Francis is very good at this. He continues to be very good at this. The match doesn't matter. It's completely inconsequential. PCO gets revived for the 312th time, comes out, beats up Swan. They do the leg drop to the back of the neck with Swan's legs on the second rope for some reason. Don't know why they did that. AJ Francis inevitably gets involved, takes down PCO on the outside. PCO fights back, does the dive, comes in, does the PCO salt, gets the win on Rich Swann. Doesn't matter. Match happened. Before we get into the real important part, Cressa, do you have anything to say about the match?
The AJ Francis promo in the beginning went on too long. I understand. Like, I get the story where we were trying to go, but Jesus Christ, I fell asleep. It took 40 days and 40 nights. I do like that the Chicago crowd, when he was like, I know the children are the future. No, when they were saying, shut the fuck up. And he said, hey, there's children here. in true Michael Jordan fashion, I heard someone say, fuck them kids.
Oh, they were. Yeah, the crowd was just something else tonight. The Chicago crowd.
It was Chicago. Chicago showing up. I never have to worry about Chicago or New York crowds. Y'all are the worst, best crowds.
So, I don't... Again, going back to like 101 when it comes to promoing or being a heel, whatever. Sometimes you do have to let the crowd get their willies out, get the waggles out.
And sometimes gotta let them get the jokes off, the yuck yucks.
Yeah, exactly. And AJ was like, all right, come on, get the heat. Keep getting the heat, getting a pile on. And sometimes you stop and you just let it happen. I kind of hear you. If it goes on too long, when you start to feel it, that's when you're like, unless this is uncomfortable heat, I don't really like the standing around waiting to hit my next mark. So I get it.
It wasn't uncomfortable, but it was definitely like, you ever seen Showtime at the Apollo? Joe Pearl is a long shot.
No, I mean, I've seen it. I don't remember much of it because it's been a while because I'm 50 million years old, Cresta Star.
Same, we're right around the same age. But there's a part where if you're doing poorly, but not like terribly, where they have to like kick you off the stage, but you're taking too long, the Sandman will come out or they get the hook. That's what I felt needed to happen. Like they needed to cue up PCO's music just a touch faster. I get where he was trying to go, but workshop it maybe a little. Like if I'm going to give my 2 cents, maybe get there faster, workshop it a little. Cause that took too long to talk about Scottie Pippen, somebody who no one, I'm not a basketball fan anymore. So, last time I was a basketball fan, Jeff Van Gundy was coaching the Knicks. My God.
90s.
What? Yeah, my God, no one was talking about Pippen then. No one's talking about Pippen now. Please, did you stretch before that reach? Did you do yoga, hot yoga? It's too long.
Anyway, did you think that the next part was too long? Because out comes Steph DeLander, and she does a very long-winded oui or no, yes or no, ken or lo, or... She basically rattles off every language she knows until finally she decides, yes, she's going to go on a date with PCO. The wedding is on, Slammiversary. Let's go. That's not official. That's just where we know it's going to go. What do you think? What did you think of the Steph DeLander stuff?
I've McCad it. That's my answer.
I've McCad it. No.
All the good juju from yesterday, is the goodwill is gone. I've McCad it with this. I will say the crowd chanted, we. That didn't pop me. I'm not gonna lie. I've already had it. I know it's gonna be good, and I'm kicking and screaming until we're at the altar.
She milked it a little much, I will admit. Even the crowd was like, come on, wrap it up. It felt like we didn't have to, this show didn't have to finish at 11 o'clock Eastern. This show, and by the way, they're an hour behind in Chicago. So for them, it's like, you can go all night. But like for us in the East Coast, we're just like, come on, man. Let's go. We can end at 10:30. It's okay. System defeat the Nemeths. Not surprising to me, but they had a bunch of moments that made you feel otherwise. The real story here, Dirty Dango's back, baby. You and I talked about Dirty Dango. Where is Dirty Dango? Where could he be? Turns out he was waiting for a spot, not with the System, but he's aligned with them. He ends up turning on the Nemeths. He comes out earlier, and I like this because there is history between Dango and Nick Nemeth. And instead, Dango ends up turning his back because, let's face it, it's Dango. You never expect Dango to be a good guy. He ends up doing this. They did this big tease finish where the referee gets pulled out. Nobody sees it except for literally everyone in the arena, but no one who's watching on TV at home knows what happened. It's a very strange angle to try and pull because the people in the room know, but the people who are at home were kind of on this weird, like, no, what's going on? I wasn't there. It's very strange. Dango lines of the System, Boston Knee Party, System retains. Moose, apprehensive. He didn't want to shake Dango's hand. Everyone else wanted Dango. But what did you think of the match, and what did you think of Dirty Dango putting himself, not as a member of the System, but in the camp of Masha Slamovic, aligned with the System?
I mean, for better or for worse, the System works. And I don't like it. That being said, if I was also Moose, who is at the head of TNA, if I am the TNA champion, this is the most professional wrestling team that you could have. Why are we aligning with someone who comes out every week that says, man, I hate professional wrestling? listen, I'm a lot of things, but that's not one of them. That goes against my quota. The system works within professional wrestling. We're aligning with a guy who hates it. I mean, I guess when we need someone to take the pin, it'll be this guy. But it does track. You hate professional wrestling so much, you'll do what it takes. I wasn't expecting it, but it tracks. Not mad at it. I thought that the Nemeth brothers were going to win. And this is a great way to protect them in defeat. Because like you said, for a hot time, you thought, especially with the, bless Nick Nemeth's heart, he was trying to give Ryan the hottest of hot tags, and the crowd went mild every time. Every time that crowd went mild. I thought Ryan did good. I really thought he did great. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We'll see. I think it does protect them, but I don't know. Dango, if you need someone to take the pin, like Campaign Singh.
I also loved in that tease, the timing was right. They do the knick-knack, and Nick is, he's not the legal man. Ryan is. So Ryan, who has never been like a major champion anywhere, the moment was there. He was going to get the pinfall. He was going to win it for the brothers and get the tag titles. Like that moment was there. And then it gets stolen away from him. It was great. But yeah, it's called the knickknack. People in the chat are suddenly figuring out that we don't call it the thing that they call it.
The famouser. I don't even know what it's called. What's it called?
It's called the Danger Zone. But I'm not an 80s nothing.
I'll be real with you. When Nemeth does it, it's called the knickknack. When Ryan does it, it's called the rickrack.
It's called the rickknack. We talked about this last night. It's not the rickrack because his name isn't Ryan Nemeth. It's still Ryan Nemeth.
I don't care. Rickrack and knickknack.
And also, he does it from the front. So anyway, the point is, it's not the Danger Zone because we're not an 80s Top Gun movie. We're not. We're watching professional wrestling here, as cheesy as it is. It's the knickknack. Because it's the knickknack. And that's what almost finishes the match. Instead, the referee gets pulled out and they do the Dango thing. And like when they brought out Moose, I was like, okay, he's going to be involved in a way that's going to be pretty interesting. And I like it. But then, I got to stop reading the chat. And then all of a sudden you have the whodunit angle, and it's between Moose and Dango. I appreciate that. But of course, when you're thinking about it, it's Moose or Dango. It's like they're going to go for the highfalutin dirty Dango turn. And that's what they did. And that was fine. And then the Boston Tea Party system retained because that's how you do it. Otherwise, the match was fine. There was nothing egregious about it. It's two very good tag teams, four very good wrestlers doing their thing.
I think it protects all men. It doesn't, again, the system is a group we love to hate. They're a good heel group. They're great wrestlers. We just want them to lose. They suck. They're heels. They suck. So them cheating the Nemeth brothers with, to be fair, the Super Nemeth brothers have one win over the ABC. One win. If I was a tag team, I would be pissed. How do you just come and become a tag team and then you get a tag title shot and now you're the tag team champions of the world? I get it. I think nobody here looks bad. Nobody here looks bad except us calling it the knickknack and the rickknack.
Dango hates wrestling. I hate wrestling. It's fine. That's why we're excited for him.
That's why we're here. We both hate wrestling. That's why we work for Fightful.
That's what we do. Hate wrestling. It's fine. God. Getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. Let's keep on going. Frankie Kazarian defeats Joe Hendry. A lot of people felt a lot of ways last night when Ace Steel became Joe Hendry's manager. And I defended it. And then tonight, Frankie Kazarian defeats Joe Hendry, and I'm defending it. What I'm not going to defend is what happens after the match. So the way that they got to the finish was Frankie Kazarian pulls something out of his trunks, knocks out Joe Hendry, and a match that was starting to look good and go back and forth. And suddenly, and I like the sudden finish because of something Kazarian did that was underhanded. Good stuff. Loved it. You can continue the feud. Frankie Kazarian is a guy who's been in TNA forever. He's, you know, they're doing the King of TNA stuff, whatever. Joe Hendry is clearly on an ascent. I didn't love that he then comes out at the end of the night and they try to, it's a weird thing there. But with all that in mind, the Kazarian Joe Hendry feud might continue because after the match, Ace Steel comes out. As Kazarian's trying to beat down on Joe Hendry some more, Ace Steel comes out and gets in Kazarian's face. Kazarian shoves him and then Ace smacks him and knocks him down. To which Santino Marella, later on in the night, makes a match for Impact, and it's going to be a Chicago street fight between Frankie Kazarian and Ace Steel, which, like, screams there's going to be, you know, stuff. But let's talk about the match. Let's start with the Joe Hendry and Frankie Kazarian match and work our way forward, shall we?
Jeez. I love this for Joe Hendry. The whole crowd was behind Joe Hendry. Let's start with what I loved. Because I didn't like Joe Hendry eating the pin here. However, I understood it. Joe Hendry right now is on, like you said, an ascent and a rebrand. I was low-key expecting Joe Hendry to have a song for Frankie Kazarian. I kind of miss it. I miss the bring back the songs. In this case, I think it would have been fine. Rather than having we or no for 20 minutes or whatever the heck that first class thing was, I would have rather a Frankie Kazarian diss track. That is just me.
Are you the dad from Spy Kids?
That's exactly what I was about to read. I just read that note. I was like, when he said the king of TNA or the dad from Spy Kids, I was like, yo, this man's a god. That's Danhausen levels of being cursed. Because the whole night they were like, dad from Spy Kids. They were chanting it. This match was good. I don't like how it ended so abruptly. Having them throw the replay back makes sense. I get it. Again, we're trying to make Joe Hendry more serious. And to me, he's already a serious, full-fledged character. But again, I guess in order to get away from people like me expecting the music videos, even now for a pay-per-view like this, you gotta knock them down maybe once or twice to build them back up. It was fine. The post-match... Chicago, again, y'all never disappoint. Not the bite him chance. Not the bite him chance, Chicago. Buddy,
I pointed that out, and it was lovely. There were people
who liked that. The river chance, the bite me chance. I mean, the bite me chance, to be fair, this is TNA.
Sure, that's what that was. I'm gonna rewind for a sec. Before this even... Okay, so some of the feeling going into this was, why does Joe Hendry need Ace Steel? I kind of mentioned, you know, Ace Steel, the idea was they're in Chicago. He has a story. He's been around for a while. Not only that, Ace Steel also has a wrestling school in Florida. Joe Hendry comes, he trains there, and he also trains the Dungeon, but they're not going to necessarily talk about the Dungeon when they have a guy who owns a wrestling school and happens to work for the company as well. So it plays into a story. That's fine. If you're trying to make Joe Hendry a super serious competitor as well, well, you want a guy who has also been a super serious competitor in the past, and that's fine as well. What I don't love is that they didn't have Ace Steel second Joe Hendry to the ring. They didn't have Ace Steel come out until after the match. Now, there's a part of me that thinks, okay, they're going to turn this into a story where Joe Hendry says, Ace, why are you stealing my spotlights? This is just you trying to be... that, you know, that guy. And then it's got to turn into a Joe Hendry versus a Steel match. A teacher becomes the master, and that I don't love either. That's the only way that I can understand them doing it like this, because otherwise, if it's a Steel said I want to come out after the match because I don't need to second him, well, then why did you become his manager? What's the point of this? That's where I'm sitting there. And one,
maybe they're still feeling each other out. You know, sometimes the first one, maybe you didn't need me, you want to see how it is. Second one, maybe you do need me. I don't know.
But if the whole thing was like, just because he's in Chicago, we're doing this for one time, then like, this didn't get anyone over in the end. But again, I'm hoping that there was at least some thought behind this, because for people who were saying, oh, they made all these references on NXT TV about saying his name and he appears, blah, blah, blah. The Fightful Select reported those were not accidents. Making those references to Joe Hendry, it's not an accident. WWE doesn't do accidental referencing. So with that in mind, Joe Hendry also had some billboards outside of the Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland today, site of tonight's SmackDown and the site of tomorrow's WWE Clash at the Castle. There's that. I don't know who paid for them, but the location,
Drew McIntyre.
I know that there is something with Joe Hendry. Obviously, people love him, and we do too. We talk about him all the time, and I've been talking about him for a very long time as well, beyond the TNA stuff. But this
reference it tonight. Joe Hendry said, I know a lot of you guys are a little surprised that this is where I showed up, but this is where I choose to be. This is where I want to be. And honestly, Impact rewards those who are Impact loyal and faithful. So come on, Mr. Hendry.
We're going to see what they do with it. I just found it weird that Ace comes out after the match. I don't think it would have been a problem. I don't know what they expected. I don't know. I think
if Ace came out during the match, Frankie Kazarian could not have cheated. And I think,
but if Ace came,
go ahead.
But I disagree, because if you want to talk about the placement of where the spot happens, the camera was basically all the action happened where in front of everything. Ace would have been beat on the other side of the ring. He wouldn't have seen it. So if Ace had come out with Joe Hendry, which a manager would, he would second his competitor, or his wrestler in this case. He didn't come out with him. And so you could have made it work, but instead they had him come out afterwards. And that part felt weird to me. It didn't make sense to me while you're trying to get one over with the other.
I think we'll see. I see what you're saying. I'm trying to find a way, like what's a positive that we could turn this into? Like maybe Joe Hendry didn't need Ace Steel. Maybe Ace Steel wanted to see if he had the stuff. I don't know. I'm not a professional wrestler, but I can tell you that I hope it works out. I hope next week that he does come out with him. Again, my thought would always be, if your manager comes out with you and you still lose because old boy cheated, then that's not a good manager. He needs to be fired immediately. If you lose and he cheated because your manager got taken out, that's one thing. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying. You should have been out there in the first place. There should have been no space for this to happen, but I don't know. We'll see. This I'm okay with it just because I like Joe Hendry and this is forgivable to me.
I'm sure Hendry's going to get involved in this Chicago street fight that they're going to tape tomorrow night. And I'm sure that they'll find a way to make it make sense. But as of right now, the way that they played it tonight didn't make a lot of sense in presentation. Now they have to clean up the story. That's where I'm at. Shall we move on?
Jeez.
The X Division Championship is on the line. Mustafa Ali defeats Trent Seven. Not a surprise. Everyone and their mothers saw it coming, and that's fine because they accomplished a few things. One, they got Ali. Okay, they didn't get him booed. They tried to get him booed in his hometown. The crowd was rabid for their hometown hero. Now, here's the problem. They really had something. They ran an angle at the beginning of the match where Trent Seven, as Jay Chung is saying, from Chicago, he grabs the microphone and everyone thought maybe, oh, is Trent going to turn heel for the match? No, it was Trent saying, hey, Tom Hannifin, remember that interview you did last night on Impact? There was more left on the cutting room floor, blah, blah, blah. They show the footage. They're showing the footage of Ali and it's a camera on the table pointed where Ali and Campaign Singh are acting. And they're acting out the idea that Ali freaked out. He says he's not from Chicago. He's from a suburb because Chicago is a crime-ridden hellhole and he doesn't care about the X Division Championship. It's just a prop, yada, yada, yada. It's a big old freak out. It's great. The problem was, Cresta, the audio was 20,000 leagues under the Chicago River.
Bro, the audio all night, and this was the first time that it was exceptionally bad. The audio all night, I felt so bad for the commentary because I either heard the production crew or whoever was sitting behind Ray Wall and Hannifin all night, just in the minute. And then the mic kept going. It was production hell. And then this was, you know what? I'm fired. I don't care. I'm putting my hands up. This was the worst. That and when they were brawling in the arena, people were like, we can't see you. That was oof. Woof. TNA did a good show, but the production side had it bad tonight. They was getting beat up.
It's really tough to do a walk-in brawl if you don't have the camera support or you don't know where. I don't know if that was planned or whatever that was. I know what you're talking about in the main event where they were chanting, we can't see you. And I get it. And also their video boards aren't showing the live action because the room isn't big enough to warrant having those video boards. So it makes sense that they wouldn't be doing it, but they need to plan better for stuff like that. That being said, because of the audio issues in the video, people couldn't really make out what was being said. And as a result, they just kept cheering for Ali regardless and said, "We still love you," and didn't matter. But they start out with Seven hitting a 7-star lariat. They fight outside for a while. It's a really, really friggin' good match. You go out of your way to watch it. You will not be disappointed. The story was there. The match was great. Ali does a couple of attempted, you know, ref interaction, ref bump wannabe calls. He grabs the title, fakes out the ref. Seven hits a low blow after Ali had already low blowed Seven earlier in the match. Does a Birminghammer. Ali had hit the 450 after a 9 count. There was a lot of really cool stuff that they got. This may have been the match of the night. Ali rakes the eyes, takes out the legs of Seven. He had been working the leg all night, hits a 450 to the leg of Trent Seven, and this is the coup de grace. He hits a sharpshooter for the submission. Crest of Star, where is Slammiversary next month?
If I'm not mistaken, what is Montreal, Quebec?
Who is the innovator of the sharpshooter, Crest of Star?
Bretherford Hart.
Bret Hart, Montreal, a sharpshooter, and Ali and Speedball Mike Bailey all in one blender, and I'm excited. Ali retains. An excellent match. No shock. The story was there. The match was there. Very good stuff. Give me your thoughts, please.
My 2 cents on it, from what I could decipher from the video, Ali saying, "I have some friends from Chicago." He said, "I'm not even from Chicago. I'm from Bakersfield." For the equivalent, for those of you who are New York adjacent, that's like saying, "Hey, I'm from New York. Where are you from?" New York City? Yonkers. "I'm from Mount Vernon." "You are not from New York City." "We accept Eddie Kingston from being from Yonkers, but that's the only person." And DMX. "But besides that, so Bakersfield to Chicago is to Yonkers is to New York City." Yes, but also no. I could fully see him option seeing on either. Oh my goodness. Speedball. And I wanted to say Gresham if they were really going to build. Like, "I'm not fighting that biohazard. F this. I don't even want this. I'm glad that they put that seed out there, because that's how I've been feeling. Like, hey, he's going to come against a Hammerstone or someone really big. And he's like, "You know what? This match, this title sucks. I don't even want this." Option C, screw it. So I like that they put that seed in Dissension. I don't know how we do that before. We give Speedball his moment. Do we give Speedball his moment? Or does Ali be a real scumbag and right before says, "You know, I'm going to option C it." And Santino says, "After your match at Slammiversary."
There are a few things at play. Speedball is in a contract here. That's something that I keep thinking about. Speedball is in a contract here, and they're about to do this stuff with Ali. What are we doing here? What if we say his name and he appears?
Oh. Listen, if you're here for the rap battle, I concede.
Oh yeah, sorry, AJ Francis just left.
Was AJ Francis really here?
No, that would have been great. That would have been great. Yeah, no, we didn't do that. How you doing, Jeremy? Is this in the weeds? Hold on, let me fix this for us.
We don't need to do that. We don't want to subject Cresta to in the weeds. Joel, I watched this show. Cresta just left. What'd you do, Joel?
I didn't do anything. She dropped herself out. That's not right. No, get yourself back here.
No, I came to say hi to Cresta. I see Joel enough. I don't want to actually talk to him.
I got when he told you about that.
There we go.
That poor thing is a rap that I attempted. I thought he told you that you came here to get your championship.
No. You at least, you know, rap. AJ Francis is ducking me.
He is. It's quite something. So you watch TNA?
I just want to let it be known. I watched this whole show tonight. I covered this show tonight. If you want my thoughts on it, tune in to Mondays in the Weeds, and I'm not going to talk about it at all. Cresta, it was great to see you. You are fantastic. I'm sorry you have to work with Joel. At least it's not as much as I do.
Joel's pretty awesome. He's like my fairy godfather in professional wrestling, honestly, truly.
Some people like me, Jeremy.
I don't get it. Y'all have a great night. Y'all have a great night. Bye, everybody.
Have a good night. The one and only Jeremy Lambert for some reason.
We love Jeremy Lambert. Let's talk BBJ Drizzy. Jeremy Lambert, BBL Drizzy.
That was from our Monday show. So if you want to go check out In the Weeds, this is the stuff that we get into. It's a great morning show. Anyway, where were we? We were still talking about what's going to go on with this X Division championship.
Oh yeah, I think we're just finishing up with that. I mean, the sharpshooter is nice. I think what happens here is Ali says, you know what, I don't want to fight. This man doesn't even wear shoes. I don't trust him. I'm gonna option C it, and I can see Santino being like, no, you gotta wrestle this one. So we'll see how it works.
I'm looking forward to this playing out, because now that they've introduced the wrinkle of I don't care about this title, it could mean he option sees it and says, I really want the world title. But the problem with that is the person who has the world title is Moose right now.
Ali, you're going to get cheated out your boots.
Yeah. Moose would have to lose the title to, I don't know, Nick Nemeth. And then as Nemeth is celebrating, Ali would have to say, catching an option C, extenuating circumstances, blah, blah, blah. And he wins the title. I don't know if we're going to go there. I don't. I'm more inclined to think that maybe Ali is going to drop it to Speedball and have the moment.
I don't hate it. And you know why I don't hate it? I don't hate it because it is Josh Alexander winning it, celebrating it, and here comes Moose's dumbass in front of Josh Alexander's family, cashing it option C. I don't hate it.
Regardless, a good match tonight. Go check out Seven and Ali. They turned it up. They had a good time. We said yesterday the outcome was never in doubt, but the story of the match was in there, and that happened a few times tonight. Let's get into Ace of Base. They defeat Josh Alexander and Eric Young. This was a match that you and I were certain wasn't going to go this way. We thought Ace of Base were maybe on the way to a breakup, but as commentary mentioned after the victory, they still have a contractual tag team title match rematch for those tag team titles. Easy for me to say at this hour. Matching outfits for EY and Alexander. That was our red herring. And most importantly, total nutsack action.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Did you miss that? Let me break down the spot for you real quick. So at one point, they took their hands and Josh Alexander.
Yes! Yeah, grabbed his dick and twisted. Yes.
Grabbed Chris Bay's dick and twisted it. And then Chris Bay, not to be outdone, grabbed Josh Alexander's dick and gave him the old dick twist.
Listen, nobody asked for this, but I'm going to give you guys a little bit of personal trauma. I have been trying to reform because someone today told me I'm a little bit too thirsty online. So I kind of removed that thought from my mind about the old dick twist. And then I looked down at my notes like, oh, the old dick twist. In all caps, the old dick twist. So, you know, I thought I missed maybe a nip slot, a nut slip. But also, If you want to talk about old dick and twisted, Eric Young's head looked like a squeezed testicle between Godzilla's legs when he was squeezing his head.
Hold on. Before you go anywhere, let's just get this out of the way. Just
every day we stray further from God's light.
I don't know if that's the look of pain or the opposite of that.
What song are they singing here? Wrong answers only in the chat. If you're watching this afterwards, what song are they singing right here? I'm going to say Queen, Princes of the Universe. Here we are.
I think this is them hitting the high note and Take On Me by Aha.
Wrong answers only. Thank you, guys. That's going to drive the gas. I'm going to put butts, fingers on keyboards.
Sorry, folks. My voice normally wouldn't crack at that point, but also it's almost midnight and I have been up since 6 a.m. So here I am. Jade got to experience that. Good for her. The match, again, really, really solid tag team action between the two. I'll let you continue because you were in the middle of your thoughts between these four men.
No, this match, it was really, really good. I again, too, was surprised that Ace of Base and Break Up, they do have a contractually obligated rematch, right? That is hard to say. But I'm not mad. The hopscotch is from the second half of the match on. It was Josh Alexander saying, oh, got your ankle. Everything poor Ace, almost called him Ace Andrews. Oh, my God. Everything Ace Austin tried to do. Everything, literally Josh Alexander's like, got your ankle. Oh, that's a stretcher. Got your ankle. We going to Montreal on this. I think everyone should just do a sharpshooter in Bret Hart's honor. Instead of a 10 gun salute, a 10 sharpshoot salute. Now the match was good. I'm not mad. I literally put on my ABC beat these old men.
Well, so the finish was the attempt. So EY accidentally knocks out Josh Alexander, hits him in the face. And then Ace Austin hits the fold while EY is trying to hit the pile driver. Bay gets the jackknife pin. That's the win. It was surprising. It was good. I'm curious as to where this goes between Alexander and EY. If this turns into something for, I don't know, a King of the Mountain match, a Slammiversary, just trying to say that.
You've been saying that. You've been putting that out. I don't know who was going to happen first. AJ Styles or this King of the Mountain match. And it's probably the King of the Mountain match.
Yeah, because the AJ Styles thing, that doesn't happen until Bound for Glory when they induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Bro, they have to put a seance circle, pay for several cameos, and sacrifice Bob Backlund before they even get a chance.
We're in a new era, Crest the Star. The new era dictates that anybody can show up at any time.
Somebody's got to get sacrificed. And unfortunately, last time it was Scott D'Amore. So somebody's got to get sacrificed.
Well, I'm sure Scott Steiner is around somewhere.
Or Jay White.
Woof.
Sacrifice.
Oh boy. All right. Regardless. Yeah, AJ Styles dropped a huge endorsement. So he loves the prohibited portal and TNA and all that stuff. The match itself was a good tag team match that felt like it could have gone either way storyline wise, but it's going to be Ace of Base story to win because they are going back after those tag titles. It seems like whatever friction they had is either gone or it's going to bubble over at the highest point, which is during a tag title rematch. And that's okay with me. This is, I guess, just a match to move them forward in that story.
Yeah, I think that at this point, if they are going to break up, it's going to happen during their contractually obligated tag title rematch. And if they lose, if it's against the system and the system cheats them out their boots, which the system will do, they can be like, I can't believe I was better off without you. And I don't know, place your bets. Who turns on who first? Place your bets.
That's our partners over at Bet Online. Go place your bets, would you?
Bet responsibly.
Yeah, they do that. They didn't sponsor this particular show, but they are a Fightful sponsor, and we're on the main channels. And it's a free plug. Go ahead, betonline.ag.
Come on now.
Let's move on. This is going to get a lot of people talking. Knockouts World Championship Open Challenge. Jordynne Grace defeats NXT's Tatum Paxley. We said that this would be most likely the challenger. This was no surprise to me. They did a lot of this, you know, leading up to through Battleground and past that. And I remind people once again, it's not about introducing the biggest star right away to this partnership. I also want to say this. Tatum Paxley did some really impressive work tonight. I mentioned this on Twitter. She walked into an unwinnable situation where people were sitting and saying that this was going to be, it's got to be this person. It's got to be that person. It has to be Natalya. It has to be Becky Lynch. It's got to be, people built it up in their mind that it was supposed to be this huge, grandiose superstar. It didn't. Didn't have to be Roxanne again. It didn't have to be anyone else. This was a first step in having NXT talent who have never stepped outside of the PC, getting a rep in a room that they've never had before. And she made the absolute most of that. She came in to a crowd of people who were dead silent when she walked out there. And I'm being honest, they didn't know or care. They just didn't care. And by the middle of that match, buddy, they gave a shit. They were hooked. They were paying attention because she came in. She had an excellent match. She performed well. She knows her character and she knows how to do this. And Jordynne Grace is a great dance partner. The chemistry was there. The match was solid. That's a young talent getting an opportunity and making the most out of that. And that's NXT also putting their trust behind someone like Tatum so that down the line, she can see herself find that success. That's what I love. The match was good. She surprised people. Did people think that Jordynne Grace was going to lose the Knockouts World Championship in this match? No, especially when Tatum came out. It was like, oh, this is going to be a walk in the park. And then it wasn't. And when it wasn't, it became a match that actually did really well and performed well. People were like, oh shit, maybe we should pay attention to this woman. Cause I guarantee you, most of y'all maybe don't watch NXT and that's okay. But we can't sit here and be like, this is, you know, no one's winning in this scenario. You know, I don't care that AEW had Kenny Omega. You know who else they brought in? They brought in Private Party and Matt Hardy at the time. Who cares? This isn't about your personal goals. Sorry to say. I tell everyone to set their expectations properly, especially in a situation like this. No, where people tend to get so obsessive about who they want to see that they think that it's supposed to be a certain way. The moment that you start understanding that it's beyond just the extreme expectation, like Cody Rhodes is going to show up at Slammiversary. No, he's not. Tatum Paxley showing up tonight did a great start to this unknown voyage that NXT and TNA have been doing, because everything's been NXT so far. This is the beginning of something.
So, I'm gonna be real with you.
Go ahead.
So I'm reading chat. I too had preconceived notions about who it could be, who it might be. Now, working with Joel yesterday, he did say Tatum Paxley. I had no knowledge of this young girl. And the beginning of this match, there were three things that happened. One, commentary put over how her and Courtney Rush, not Courtney Rush. Oh my God, what was her name? Daphne.
You're talking about Daphne. Just Daphne. Yes. She was Daphne.
Thank you. Like, they have a lot of similarities. I'm like, okay, I could see it. Two, they also put over how Paxley is gold obsessed. She was part of the reason why Grace lost her title. And three, and I think this is the most important one, some people started chanting, we wanted Bessa Blanchard. And shout outs to everyone saying, no, we don't. Because we for damn sure don't. We don't. Yep. We don't. Did that? We don't. Okay? So with those three things being said, I said, you know what? This is TNA. I'm going to give it a chance. And that girl did her job. I was thoroughly impressed with Tatum Paxley. Tatum Paxley, after seeing her wrestle, Jordynne Grace is no easy wrestler. That's an unwinnable situation. That woman is all muscle. If you told me I had to wrestle Jordynne Grace, I'm taking the finger poke of doom. This girl really wrestled her heart out. She reminds me of this boxer named 3-6 Barbie. and looks demented, crazy, 6 foot tall, but was wrestling this girl, doing what she needed to do, go under the ring. I will say that when it comes to TNA, and y'all need to put respect on their knockouts women's division, those are some of the toughest girls, bar none. There's a lot of great divisions, but some of the toughest girls are in TNA. And Tatum held her own against Jordynne Grace, no less. So I will say, taking a muscle buster and getting out of that from Jordynne Grace is no small feat.
Go ahead. I was going to say, she took everything.
She took everything and an inverted Grace driver. And she turned that Grace driver, she got Grace driver into a ground and pound, turned it into a guillotine. There have been stronger women who have fell at her feet. You know what I mean? I will say that Paxley, if she is developmental, this is what developmental is for. I implore you to zoom out of your WWE lens and take it away from, well, this is just what it is. Because New Japan does the same thing with their young lions. We didn't know who Takeshita was before he went to AEW, and now he's a pain in my ass.
Sorry, the Takeshita thing. He was from DDT, not from New Japan. No.
Okay, sorry. But the point still stands. I didn't know who he was then, and he was on an excursion. He was a pain, and he's a pain in my ass. Same thing with, oh my God, he was in Yuya, oh my God.
Yeah, Yuya Uemura was one of the people who left New Japan as a young lion, and this was his excursion.
I just started thinking, joy, yeah. But I'm saying, like, you have to learn new things. And for WWE, which has historically never been open for business, it wasn't going to be someone, even if it was on their job or of established talent. You wasn't going to get Akira Tozawa, who could still put on bangers in 205 Live, if you remember. Natalya, who was from the Heart Dungeon. Becky Lynch, who they can't even get to sign. You were going to get an NXT girl. And it wasn't going to be a Lash Legend. It wasn't going to be a Cora Jade. I don't know if she still wrestles there. Like, I don't watch NXT. But you were going to get someone who was either directly involved or someone who's lower on that bracket. I personally would have liked to see an Ivy now, muscle mommy for muscle mommy. But I think if this is the intro, Tatum Paxley did great. And I could see her doing something with Rosemary. I could see them doing an exchange one for one. I could see Ivy now coming over. And that's how you build up the stuff. If WWE and TNA show each other good faith and goodwill, because historically you work with WWE and then it goes, get out of here. If they show good faith, I could see it working. But you got to let it work. You got to let it build. And if you don't want to, then, you know, I can't tell you what to do.
I also want to remind everyone that as of right now, if you look at what this partnership is, it's not exclusively a WWE main roster TNA partnership. This is an NXT partnership. And look at the women's division in NXT right now. The women's division is full of women that are not all... A lot of them are in the same spot right now, and none of them are super-duper stars. Roxanne is the only one right now who really is the leader of that division. The rest of the women who are there, and this is not a knock at anybody because they all do very good work at NXT, but there are no super duper stars, so therefore almost anyone who came through would have been a problem. You could have sent Lash Legend. You all would have been like, why is Lash Legend getting into it? It would have been the similar stuff. Kalani Jordan, she just won a title. Why would you do that? You run into the same problem. I remind everyone that a story above all, at least for me, will trump a dream title match between two people that were you like, how are you going to get out of this one? Because nobody
can lose. Exactly.
Let someone get over by losing. And that's what Tatum Paxley did. She got over by losing. And I think it does her a huge service, not disservice, a huge service. It serves her well to have lost and looked good and looked like she knew her stuff. They mentioned the Daphne connection and she pulled out the lobotomy. And that was Daphne's, one of her finishers, especially during her time in TNA. There was a lot of really cool stuff. She did a lot of Rosemary stuff. And Rosemary's in the background, you know, brandishing a shiv on NXT TV or on TNA Impact, not NXT TV. She's not there. She's on TNA Impact, brandishing a shiv. And there's Ash by Elegance there. We can get into, she's there. She's a part of this as well. I'm going to pull up this super chat so we finally address it from Leonard, saying, I defended TNA for a lot of years when folks clown them. I can't hear. Having your top knockout go to WWE and lose to the women's champion of the third brand / developmental in exchange for Tatum Paxley is peak LOL TNA for me. Well, Leonard, I'm going to start with this. WWE has done a long, long line of work to tell you that NXT is not considered a developmental brand, that they're trying to make it their third brand, that it is just maybe a shade below Raw or SmackDown, but it's still there. TNA is not the juggernaut, pardon the pun, because it's a Jordan Grace match. It's not the juggernaut that WWE is. This is the partnership where it makes sense, and that's working with NXT. And TNA stands to get a lot of people who are young and need reps and some new faces on their TV. And TNA gets a lot of really cool different spots and different people and some crossover as well. If the men get involved, which could happen as early as Tuesday, you might be singing a different tune. You don't know yet. But this wasn't as bad as you might think it is, in my opinion.
I'm going to go ahead and even chime in here and say that, yeah, WWE has trained us to believe that NXT is not a developmental brand, but it is. Let's be for real. It is. So you could say, well, Jordynne Grace going over there losing her title wasn't on the line. It is what it is. And I lost to it, so I'm helping younger talent. I don't see that as a problem. Again, I will also go back to the knockouts division being stacked. No matter who you send over there, if Jordynne Grace took the NXT title, who's going to take it from her? We put ourselves into a booking corner. You did a lot of schmoz, which opened up Tatum Paxley coming in. And I think that no matter who the woman is in NXT, because these women are talented. Again, I don't watch, so I don't want you guys to think I'm giving you a super nuanced answer. But the people I do know of is Tiffany Stratton. I think she got called up. Jakara Jackson. You got Lash Legend, who some of these women I hear online that you guys consistently dunk on. So how do you want them to get their reps in? If we're not going to treat them like a main roster and we're going to treat them like a developmental brand, but they're not a developmental brand when it comes to TNA, because in your mind, TNA deserves it. TNA is doing some of its best work. I get it. I used to be that guy too. But Tatum Paxley did a really fantastic job tonight. And so did Grace. I will say Ash by Elegance is getting on my nerves, but I guess that's the point of the character. I will say I get what you're trying to say, but I don't think you're giving TNA any sort of credit because it's cool to dunk on TNA. That's what I'm getting from it. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but I'm getting the, yeah, it's cool to dunk on TNA and TNA will always be, but TNA is a good brand and so is NXT. So why can't good wrestlers be good wrestlers? If you can make the storyline work, you can make the storyline work. Let it play out. And if you don't like it, you know, close your eyes. Change your mind.
Fair. Listen, that's all I need to say. That's all maybe we need to say to it, because we're not deep into this. And there's trust. You're dealing with the biggest name in wrestling, and you're sending over somebody for the first time. Think about that. You're not going to send your level A athlete, your number one star, over for the first experience. And that's it. AJPW gets Charlie Dempsey back in January. That was just a thing. That was just how Charlie Dempsey was not a big star in NXT. They sent him over and that was testing the waters. That's what WWE does. You build the relationship through the trust that's built by this. Tatum comes in. If Tatum did well backstage and comported herself well, and it basically, if everything aligned, everything moves up. It's going to be the same. Same thing with Charlie Dempsey. Goes over to Japan, has a good showing. Japan was really happy with Dempsey as a human being and as a representative. They want to keep going, and it builds from there. It's going to be a similar situation with NXT and with TNA. That's the way it's
going to go. I'll also take it one step further than that, and I think we could totally move on. There's a lot of goodwill that needs to be built up on WWE's side as well. A lot of people don't want to play ball with WWE. Every time we do, we end up looking the worst for it. So again, if you're willing to send me someone on the up and up, that's not going to, because again, I can't expect you to send the Seth Rollins to lose to Josh Alexander, which would be fucking dope. which I don't think it hurts either man, you know, but that's not the way that the Fed works. If this is the start, it's a great start. And again, going back to Tate and Paxley, she did great tonight. I thought she did great. This was my match of the night, even. In fact, like, I really, like, this is a girl that I would go and try to find and watch her matches. And that's how you spread different wrestlers to different people. I think she did exactly what she needed to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rosemary's creepy ass was like, hey, little girl, you want to be creepy together? Since Havoc is out indefinitely, you know what I mean? I think she did a great job. And I'm a fan. She made a fan out of me. And I think that's the whole point.
It's part of a story. And for people saying shit like this, it's not real. None of this is real. This shit ain't real. Wrestling's not real. Please stop treating it like it's a big story, that this is a big, it's not real.
I had to read it and squint because there's a lot of letters.
It's not real, and it's not that important. Neither company is going anywhere anytime soon because of this. Ash by Elegance might, though. She shows up. She's part of this thing. She's sitting at the top of the ramp because George Iceman, sorry, personal concierge, says that Jordynne Grace is going to try and beat her up again. They should call the cops, so on and so forth. But then at the end of the match, Ash by Elegance uses her brass knucks. They're bedazzled knucks on Jordynne Grace, and then Jordynne takes her down and throws her out of the ring, pours champagne all over Ash while she freaks out. It's a little much for a title challenger, isn't it?
Man, listen, I relegated to Ash by Elegance to you are the Miz, bro. You are so annoying. You gonna do whatever you can to get into a title scene. I'm over it. I'm over you. Go away. I support women's wrestling. But when the crowd started chanting, Ash is ass, I sat there and I ate my food. I didn't tell them to be quiet.
The overselling made me feel a certain way, and it wasn't a good way. But we move on. TNA title, main event, Broken Rules match. What does Broken Rule mean? Well, everything gets broken. Moose defeats Matt Hardy, retains his championship. The system completes the sweep. I like this. At the beginning of the match, the Nemeths come out and they take out Myers and Edwards, and they even out the playing field. It's just Lish out there cheering on Moose, and Matt Hardy are fighting the whole time. They fight into the crowd. We talked about this. It's hard to have cameras follow when there are no cameras available to follow you as production is trying to keep up. Regardless, they also announce that the match has to end via pinfall or submission, but there are still no rules. And I was sitting there just being like, yeah, no, I can understand why now they're doing this, because a pinfall in the middle of the floor where they couldn't get a camera shot makes perfect sense. The match was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. You can't really go wrong with a match that has so much plunder and so much bullshit, and it's good. And we'll get into the nitty gritty of it. But the big story here is that House Hardy gets a little bit bigger. Jeff Hardy has made his return to TNA, joins up with his brother, comes out with the old WWF theme, the Warner theme. Does Jeff Hardy. It was a good experience, good feel good moment, despite Matt Hardy not winning the TNA title tonight. What do you think of this overall? There's certainly a lot to unpack here. Maybe what's in the box? Just a bunch of helmets.
I'm gonna be real with you. I didn't start writing notes until the half point of this match. I knew what it was fucking for. TLC. But when the crowd started chanting CTE, Chicago, yo, go to your room. Everyone in Chicago right now, go to your room and face the wall.
That was a moment. I was like, oh, yeah, you can't do that.
You can't chant that. Like, is this New York? Like, you're in Chicago. I see you. You guys are not nice girls. I mean, honestly, the match is exactly what I thought it was going to be. The "we can't see you" chant, I couldn't see it. Again, that goes back into production. Then, too, like I said, during this match, there were two people in the front row. There was one girl who was dressed like, I guess, Rosemary, because half her face was painted. She was yelling at another girl on the other side who we couldn't see, who I think I know that person. I'm hoping it's not who I think it is. But they were just yelling at each other. And at one point in the match, I was like, what's happening? What is happening in this crowd? I don't care what's happening there. Etiquette fans, please.
Chicago, you ain't going to get it.
I know. Rebecca Hardy, hair together, makeup together, nails a fantasy. But girl, I get telling your man to put him delete, but I know you've been around. Why are you that close to the table, girl? I knew Moose was gonna pull you into that table. And Moose, why you putting your hand on Rebecca? That whole ending was a mess. It's exactly what it needed to be. Rebecca died. Matt was dead because he knew that when she comes to, he's gonna die. It was great. It was a smosh fest. Exactly what it needed to be. And then at the end, everybody and her mama runs down. I was like, okay, before we got Ryan Nemeth, I'm like, all right, I'm with the crowd. Jeff, Ryan Nemeth. Okay, then Joe Hendry came out. And I love Joe Hendry. But after they said, say his name, I was like, okay, we said his name. Say, you do the dance. Do the dance already. Too long, too many beatdowns later, all of a sudden, he saunters down with the chair. Let me tell you something about Jeff Hardy. He loved his brother, but not urgently. He'll urgently run for his brother.
They'll save me. He'll save himself. It's fine. He's cool. I got a chair. I'll get there. Let me do the dance first.
This match was good. I liked it. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was shenanigans.
John Alba, who hosts the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy podcast, joined us last night to talk about the system confronting House Hardy and going to the house. And we had a very good conversation about how it was shot and just our general feelings towards it. He's in the chat and he's talking about how Matt knew and he's going to be sleeping on the couch this week because of the Revy Hardy situation. Can I tell you something really awful for a sec? I don't know. Do you watch MLW much, or are you up at all with some of the people who appear on MLW?
It depends. Say your story and I'll tell you if I have a gauge.
I see blue hair jump into the ring and I see her from the side and I'm like, is that Selena De La Renta? And then I immediately was like, oh no, that's right. Matt Hardy has a wife and she also would be part of this whole thing. So I had a split second where I was like, why is Selena, is this a prohibited portal thing? And I was, no, sorry. Right. Rebby's here.
I mean, to confuse you, she should have wore Luchador's mask just to confuse you for maximum confusion.
Would have worked.
It could have been El Generico. You know?
When I got a look at her face, I was like, oh no, that's Rebby. Okay. I like that she's the one who would come in and it makes sense. She would take out Lish. What I wanted, this would have been perfect. If Rebby took out Lish with the guillotine choke.
Bro, okay, let me tell you something. In my mind, in my fantasy, and this is just me fantasy booking, because I live for Rebecca Hardy. I call her Rebby because that's what she says online. That's what I call her. I live. In my mind, though, she's Eddie Kingston. She can't learn how to wrestle because she's not going to know wrestling. Like, I could just choke this bitch. Like, no, you can't really choke her. Rebecca, no, like, I could just, So maybe it's best that she just knows the system thing, because I can really see it being like on some Eddie Kingston. You put your hand on my man, ride or die, hope you're ready to die. Like, no, it's a joke.
I'm looking forward to where this goes. Some people are talking about Lethal Lockdown being one of the options for these teams. Have the Hardys, Joe Hendry, and the Nemeths team up. I don't necessarily think this should be that. This should be a special on the way to Slammiversary. This should be something that they tape in Chicago at 2300 because Lethal Lockdown is a hardcore match, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. We should do something like that. I would love it. With that in mind, I don't know where this goes, but I like the idea that these eight people, nine if you start counting the women as well, if they're all going to get in, they're all going to fight. I want to see this, and I want to see them wallop each other. It's good. It's nice to see Jeff Hardy. I hope that, like I said last night, I hope he's healthy, I hope he's ready, and I hope he gives it his all, and that everything is good for him, and that he does right by everyone who wants to see him here, who wants to see him in a good space, who wants to see him healthy and ready to work. That would be great.
I agree with that 4,000%. I want the best for one Jeffrey Hardy. My only caveat with the TNA Blood and Guts prohibited portal is, again, I don't know if Rebby Hardy is a wrestler for real. I've heard she's wrestled, and say what you want about Lish, but Lish is a little scrappy woman and she can wrestle. So do we put Rebby in, or is there someone else who has a tie to that group?
I'm just kidding.
No. Wrong team, girl. Wrong team.
I don't necessarily expect Lish and Rebby to mix it up in a match like that. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and I would totally welcome it. But at the same time, if they just do a straight up 4-on-4, then that's fine too, because Lethal Lockdown is it's a small ring with a cage around it. So
I'm not going to hold you. I've said it now, and I'm going to keep saying it. In my mind now, I want Rebby Hardy and Eddie Kingston to be in a mixed tag match. I'll be taking no further questions at this time.
Just Rebby, just do a guillotine choke just for me. That's how I know you're watching.
Bro, do it once and have Daniel since he just add the tug out. Yo, you don't even need Danielson. I'm sure Alexander will teach you how to break somebody's ankle and guillotine with the headgear on. With the eye pop. Just for me, Rebby Hardy with some headgear to guillotine choke, looking at the camera going.
All right, we've made it all the way to the end, and I think we're sufficiently done. So against all odds tonight, a good show, a solid show. We had a lot to talk about, and as we get closer and closer to Slammiversary, we're going to have more to talk about. They're going to be taping tomorrow in Chicago. They're going to be in Philadelphia coming up, and then we hit Montreal. And then after that, well, they've announced a few shows that are coming up, including Louisville, Kentucky, and Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm not a TNA shill. I'm not going to tell you. Go to their website, but come to our website. Go to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We had the Jeff Hardy news and his TNA. Well, the interest that TNA had in his departure from AEW, his contract being up. We also have a ton of news going on when it comes to Ricochet, when it comes to all the contracts. We'll have WWE Clash at the Castle news. We'll have a lot more scoops and information over on FightfulSelect.com. Crest the Star, what's going on with you?
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this time and say Joel Pearl is the greatest, but I am here every Thursday. We cover everything TNA. But Saturdays, this Saturday in particular, it's our one-year collision anniversary, guys. I'm excited. Y'all guys have let me into your living rooms for over 2-3 years and let me screech in your ear about professional wrestling. Iridian unfortunately won't be here to see our child turn one because she has to go get cigarettes and she said she'd be back and it's been 2 weeks and I've missed my mom. I'm kidding. It'll just be me and Rick this Saturday. I stream on Twitch and TikTok sometimes. Follow me, Crest the Star. You can follow me all the things on Twitter, X, Twitch, Crest the Star. It's somewhere here. Yeah, Crest of the Star, like Megan Thee Stallion. There is a link tree in my bio. Please feel free to follow me. And there's a link to all the videos for all of these. If you want to watch all of our post shows in canonical order, I got it. That's it. I have nothing else to plug. It's 12:30 in the morning. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
Are you excited for Dalton Castle versus Hechicero tomorrow?
Who's that? I know who Dalton Castle is, but who's the other guy?
Hechicero, who's been on AEW programming before from CMLL, has faced Bryan Danielson on an episode of Collision, I remind you. We're still live.
I've never seen wrestling a day in my life, okay? I don't even know how I keep getting invited to these chicken shit gigs. I don't know what wrestling is. You guys told me to just show up here and look pretty, and that's what I didn't do.
Cresta, the wrestling cookout has uninvited you. I'm sorry.
You can't do me. You can't do me, and I'm cutting you off right now.
Oh, I'm in the weeds with Jeremy Lambert every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, leave a thumbs up on the way out. Drop your comments. This is what we do every Thursday night, Cresta and I. We talk about TNA wrestling and a few other things because that's just what we do. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-A-R-L. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.